Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Damn these Biloxi Blues, it happens every night.
Every night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Sam, have you ever met a riverboat dealer?
Treats me kindly. A few.
I don't trust none of them.
Okay, see, that's why Sam's my guy right here.
I don't trust nobody.
See?
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no,
and if Sam can't trust you, I don't care about you at all.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires. And
right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget Live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for February 20th, Monday, February 20th. I hope all you lowlifers are doing well out there. You might notice a few things different. We got a new camera this week. We're playing around with some things. I'm not a camera operator, so I have no clue. And we are joined in the bar and grill by the one and only Sammy George.
This is my first time here. Dude. As long as we've been doing this. And this is, we were just talking about this. I said we're going to have to start calling it Low to Increasing Budget Live because this is a lot nicer than the nasty wet carpet hotels where this started in.
Sammy has been there since the beginning. We did shoot one at the kitchen table here one time. Years ago when I got another camera, remember that? We actually did an actual live years ago here at the house. But I can't believe, because we have some get-together. You've never been to the 4th of July shindig, have you?
I did once, yeah.
But it was before this was finished, though, I bet.
Yeah, I learned a lot. I learned Atkins can't fit through a pool float. We have that on video.
We do. Yeah. Just shout out Justin.
He's also scared of fireworks.
Yes,
But, yeah, we had a good time. Good time.
But I guess this was not completed then. That would have been like 2018, I think.
So, I hadn't been here in a while.
And a lot has changed here. A lot has changed in your life. We're going to get to all that. But the podcast is, I said this last week, and Sammy's talking about this extended budget live, I think is what we could call it. New camera, new lighting on the way, got some new lights in here. But I'm fixing to change the look. This is not how it's going to look. I'm not going to do it from the bar anymore. Fixing to change some things. Might not be within the next couple episodes, but I'm working on things. Man, I busted my ass all weekend, last weekend, to rearrange in here in the bar and grill. And just want to keep it fresh, want to change it up. So welcome again to all you to lowlifers out there. I don't even know what I'm saying this morning. Proud to have Sammy in studio. I'm proud to have the supporters of this show. Want to run through those real fast. Startron, Starbright, Startron kicking ethanol in the teeth in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, but most importantly in your outboard engine, because as Sammy can tell you, he's got 9 events this year. He's trying to make the Bassmaster Elite Series, and one little hiccup because of stupid dumb ethanol can cost you money, any kind of mechanical failure. And if you're just a guy like me and you're out there on the weekends trying to catch a bass, you don't want problems. So drop a little StarTron in your tank, kick ethanol in the teeth. We appreciate the folks from StarTron bringing you Low Budget Live for many years now and making all this these increased budget live things possible. Pro Guide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com. I'm running those lithium Pro Guides for the trolling motor setup this year. I got the 31 series AGM cranking battery, running my live scope, running all my graphs. Sammy and I were actually just talking about you. You said you want a lithium battery just for live scope.
Yeah, yeah. I've never run a lithium, mostly just because
for cranking?
I've never run a lithium, period.
Oh, okay.
And I know that's a new thing. And at first they kind of, you know, made us all a little nervous just because of the kind of horror stories.
That's
but
right.
They have got that technology dialed so down, like so perfect now that I just haven't run them just because I just don't want to spend a bunch of money on batteries. But I think that as much as that, you know, live scope and everything has become a thing, I'm probably this year going to run just like a designated lithium battery just for that, just where I only have one thing on that battery, no interference, no nothing, have the most power I can get. So,
well, I know somewhere you can get one. ProGuideBatteries.com, use code LBL10. Thank you for helping me with my sponsor rate. Yep. And I say this every week, I did not run lithiums until last year, partnering with ProGuide. And the reason being is there were horror stories, and there still are some. And be careful who you trust with lithium batteries. I would say that. The ProGuide folks have been in the battery game for 30 years. Lithium is new to them, but they did not just fly by night.
Yeah.
Come out. They tested this product through and through. So check them out, ProGuideBatteries.com. Baitworks.com, bait-works.com. The LOB jig is there. It's ready. Use code Duncan-10 to get that LOB. It's got the LBL logo on it, dang it. You should own some of those. Sammy George was reaching out to me. Hey, is it a good brush jig? Yes. Yes, it is.
Fixing to dig around this garage in a minute.
Oh, some laying around here.
There's some going back to Alabama.
They're just not in the pretty package version here. But you can get those bait-works.com. If they ain't got it, you don't need it. And don't hit order if you don't want it on your doorstep. They get it to you very fast. Baitworks.com. We appreciate Baitworks. And last but not least, hang this old banner over my shoulder. The Bassmaster Classic winning high performance all welded aluminum boat that Sam George is going to get to play around in today. The Express X21 Pro LE. Blown away by that boat every time I get it on the water. C-Deck bow to stern 250 Yamaha show, pushing that bad boy around. More tackle storage than you can shake a stick at. Best hole shot in the game. Go for a ride in one, and you will see why Express Boats has been building excitement since 1966. Absolutely love that boat and love all the sponsors. And proud to have Sammy George in studio today. So this is The Sauce with Sammy George, presented by the W Sauce, Worcestershire Sauce. I got to get you some of that, too, before you go home. The Fire Shire will light you up, but this is my favorite, man. Pork chops and just basically anything. We cooked up some chops last night with that marinating on there. This is America, and that's our Worcestershire Sauce, the W Sauce. These colors don't run.
I call it Worcester.
Did you see, speaking of colors don't run, did you see Chris Stapleton? Did you hear him sing?
I did. That brought grown men to tears.
Listen, Francis
Incredible.
Scott Key wrote that song. Chris Stapleton rewrote it.
Yeah,
he rewrote it. I'm a Chris Stapleton fan. He's fantastic. But I just felt like I was just pounding a bottle of America's Wish while he's drinking.
Just taking shots.
These colors don't run. The whole time, man, I'd have fist fought a Chinese grizzly bear, took down a damn balloon.
Yeah. How'd it make it past your house and not get shot down? I really, really, really want to know how it made it past BK's house in East Tennessee and did not make it down. When I saw it was going there, I was like, oh, there is no way it makes it to the coast.
We've got to ask BK that a little bit. We got to get BK on the phone. I need to know why the China balloon made it past his house.
I think he was in Missouri that week. Hunting, so
but technically he came across there.
Yeah, Tennessee's defender may have not been in the house when it came by.
I made a post that said I was the Middle Tennessee District Fair balloon dart champ for many years. I got so many of my middle school girlfriends some teddy bears and whatnot. it better not have flown over the bar and grill here. It would have been in trouble. But by the time I got the notification, it was over Middle Tennessee. They had done shot it down in the damn ocean. So some information was not exactly accurate.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Yeah. Imagine that. Well, dude, now they're shooting down a couple more of them. I'm just like.
Yeah, during the Super Bowl, we have UFOs flying around.
And then I saw this morning, this is a fishing podcast, by the way, and I'm totally here for this. But I saw this morning that they got some Russian military planes like flying around Alaska or something. What's happening right now?
I don't know.
It's like, are we headed into, World War is a hard thing to say.
Yeah.
World War.
It's a tongue twister.
I hope not, because I feel like that's not going to be good.
Would not be good.
Not be good. Everybody's just going to be like shooting nukes at each other. Yeah. And
there'd be a lot of stuff moved really low on the totem pole.
Yeah,
like the priority.
So. Yeah, that's a fact.
Hopefully not.
But hopefully that's not the case. And all I want to say is, China, if you're listening to this podcast, just quit sending your damn balloons over here. Yeah. You know, we do a lot of business with your country over there. Quit sending the balloons. Who's calling? Who is it? Who's calling?
I don't know.
Who was it? Let us know. Is it Lil' Alton?
No.
Is he fishing today?
Oh, that was actually my reminder to call our marketing guy at Lou's. We're supposed to have a meeting this morning.
Okay. Well,
we'll kick that back
live.
A little bit. He knows we're coming, so.
All right. We'll perfect. See. Perfect. But yeah, China, if you're listening again, just stop, because these colors don't run. Chris Stapleton, just China, if you're listen to that Chris Stapleton's just national anthem. It'll change your mind about us. Quit sending the damn balloons. All I want to know, all I care about though, is that we don't get in a fight with Japan, because they're fishing. Just techniques and lures. We need them here.
Yep.
And China's never brought us anything in bass fishing except cheap crankbaits.
Yeah. They do a lot of business in the
bass
fishing
industry. Listen, China bring you a lot of your rod and reels.
Not so much the development.
But hey, they're going to get it to you. Send it in a container loader.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the stuff we're back ordered on, utilize them balloons to drop it over here. If you can get them balloons here so quick,
they could overnight it from the factory.
Drop it right here, China. I don't know how we got on that kick, but crazy bass fishing news in the last week. You and I were just talking about this before we hit record. The GOAT, KVD, hanging up the cleats, man.
That's weird.
It is. It's weird. It was last week. It was an announcement. Really, I guess it came out last Monday.
I think he and Tom Brady had an ongoing bet who was going to quit first. Tom gave in, so he said, I can do it too.
Tom was like, fishing. What is fishing?
Yeah.
He seems like a prick. I don't know. I'm not a Tom Brady guy, but I don't think he probably even knows what the bass fishing world.
Probably not. But.
You know, certainly want to say, though, thanks to Kevin for everything that he's. Listen, I can remember being a kid. I'm a lot older than Sammy, but I'm sure Sammy's had these same DVDs and magazines and things. But I had a Kevin Van Dam spinnerbait tip video from Bass Pro Shops. Now, I'll never forget it. He had a Quantum Energy rod and reel set up. It was this brown Quantum reel. And for Christmas, I begged and begged and begged and begged and begged. And I got that exact setup. And son, I was spinnerbaiting like Van Damme when I was 13 or 14 years old, backlashing every other cast with that reel. But I remember the coolest thing in this video is they filmed a spinnerbait from down in the water column. And he was kind of burning it across the surface, and he was talking about, and it always stuck with me. He was a big trailer hook guy, which I always have been. My dad never was, and we would argue over that. I love a trailer hook. Kevin's like, always throw a trailer hook, always throw a trailer hook, always throw a trailer hook. People have mixed emotions on that sometimes. If you talk to a Jason Christie, if you talk to a Gerald Swindle especially.
It's situational.
It is situational, but Kevin was like, always throw a trailer hook. Like, just
I get
always.
Hung too much.
Yeah, and so as a kid, I always was obsessed with it. My dad would be like, boy, take that trailer hook off and get hung. And I'm like, well, Kevin Van Dam says, Dad. So I owe Kevin for a lot of the fights I got in with my dad growing up in the bass boat. But I remember, though, he was like talking about the profile, the silhouette of that spinnerbait. And then the way he narrated this piece, I was just like, I felt like I knew everything. But just whether it was showing us how, you and I, Tennessee River kids, exploiting them on ledges, cranking and bringing us crankbaits like those 6XDs and all of these innovative techniques, but also not being afraid to be a finesse fisherman, but just being the damn goat. I just want to say that, like, there's a lot of talk now, and I had Jacob Wheeler on a couple weeks ago, how the dust will settle. This is like LeBron and Michael Jordan and all that, and the game has changed. But damn, man, for what that guy did in this sport, what he did in electronics, helping out companies like Humminbird and working with Nitro Bass Boats to develop boats and all the products he's been involved in over the years, like, just hats off to you. My favorite Kevin Van Dam, and I'll tell this just because hopefully we'll get Kevin on. But Kevin, I was at a writer's conference. I've told you this before, but Kevin had a couple drinks. I'll tell this on Kevin. And he'd had a couple drinks, and it was a Quantum Riders event, and I was invited by my buddy Guck, Alan McGuck, and all these riders in the room, and they were unveiling these new products. This is back in the day, and this was at Big Cedar Lodge. And I happened to be in town for TH Marine, so I got to be a part of this, just kind of fly on the wall. And I was playing guitar, me and Casey Ashley. Shout out Casey Ashley. We were sitting around picking and grinning. And the president of Quantum was like, okay, this is our new Kevin Van Dam blah, blah, blah spinner reel, right? And Kevin was like, yep, and it's the shit because I designed it. Dude, this happened repeatedly for like 30 minutes.
And he's one of the few that can get away with that.
Yes, yes, but I was like in the corner like, hell yeah. Like, this is like 10 years ago stuff, man. But he was like, I decided, here's why. And but his passion, what I'm getting at is, though, his passion is truly incredible. His competitive nature is amazing. It doesn't matter if you're throwing freaking cornhole or freaking fishing for a living. Like, the dude wants to slice your throat. Like, he is uber competitive. But that was always one of my favorite Kevin moments.
Oh, yeah.
It's the shit. Because I designed it.
His classic win at Lay Lake was like the one. That was the first classic I'd been
such
to.
A good one.
I was 14, maybe 13, 14. And my mom took me down there with a buddy of mine. And I mean, that was the first classic I'd ever been to. And I mean, I just remember standing in that arena like this is what I want to do. And then, you know, fast forward 4 or 5 years in 2013, we had the Toyota owners event on Wheeler, and he was like the MC and stuff, and actually handed me the check that
that's the one you won.
That tournament alone gave me just enough money to pay my entry fees and like in a division or two and get some recognition, and basically just trickle started like that whole adventure. And then he was the one that handed me the check for that.
I never realized that. Very cool, dude. I got
It's pretty neat.
That's awesome, man. That Lay Lake Classic, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm back there in that little honey hole just catching them on that lipless, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Hair looking perfect, too.
Bring that up with BK. Bring that story up with BK. There's a little more to that story. There's a little more to the story.
On the Lay Lake deal?
On the Lay Lake deal. It wasn't just all on a lipless.
Catch on a fly side.
Maybe, and it may have actually been handcrafted by somebody that we're really close with.
Come on. I got to get that story. All right, we're going to call him here in a minute. I can't help it. We got to get him on the phone.
Yeah.
I got to hear this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how in-depth we'll go, but, you know.
Okay.
If you zoom in on camera, there's a little more to the story.
Oh, well, that was before all the live coverage and stuff, though. Yeah. You could get away with whatever.
Everything contributed heavily.
But yeah, he definitely was catching on that little red eye deal in the back of that little
black and gold red eye. It's hard to beat.
Yeah, I just remember that I remember him, his hair being on point. Like, I remember that. It was so cold, and he's just like firing away, and the hair is just perfect back there one morning.
It's like 30 degrees, no toboggan.
But saying that, though, dude, for me as a kid, he was always like that super clean cut.
Yeah.
He was pro.
He was the guy. When he walked in a room, he owned it.
That's right.
And he still does.
Like, oh, you go for to a sure. Classic,
I mean, he is a machine.
For sure. I got to spend some time with him, I guess, at last year's Classic. No, take that back. It was the Fort Worth Classic. And he had just won at Chick and BPT. And he stayed in the TH booth with me for about an hour. And it's always, even though, like, we get a little jaded, because we're fortunate to know these guys and call a lot of them friends. You know, I wouldn't necessarily call Kevin a close friend or anything, but just a business acquaintance. I've known him for a very long time, but you kind of get taken aback. I've said it, even like having Jimmy Houston on here and Larry Nixon on here. These are just heroes of my childhood that I do consider friends now. And we get a little jaded, but with Kevin, there's always just that little bit of like, I'm like a 12-year-old when he gets around, because you listen to everything he's got going on. And you talk about a guy that has morphed, though, because he didn't have to do social media, man. He didn't have to do any of that. The guy's career's made. He's running around with teams of people filming and getting content. Like, he's a pro. When you say action, that dude is a one-taker. Hey, what's this part? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Boom. He goes. He is the pro's pro, man.
He's on a different level on and off the water.
Yes.
It's not just fishing-wise. Like, business-wise, he's on a whole other level. I've noticed that a lot, just spending time with him in booths at Strike King and Lou's. And, I mean, he's just the guy, you know.
He is, man.
And it is what it is.
And a team, like his wife, Sherry, his boys are now helping out a lot, too. And he just they're a powerhouse, man. Yeah. And they always have been. And the guy is this sport, in my opinion, would be smaller had he not been in it and been as dominant. Every sport has to have that Tiger Woods, that Michael Jordan, that LeBron.
And the argument of who's going to be.
Yes, of course. Every
like somebody has to say, because up until him, you know, it was Rick Klun and KVD.
Right.
And now it's KVD and Wheeler. And now somebody's got to take that place, you know. And it may be
it's
somebody
coming.
Watching right
maybe
now.
Maybe you.
No, I don't know about that. That's a little stretch. But I mean, there's a kid out there right now that's dominating local events that we don't, you know, somebody's going to have to take that place one day. And it's no different than any argument. LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I mean, you know, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's a never ending, like, somebody has to set that standard for somebody else to chase. And he no doubt did it.
Oh, man. I'm talking about just the bar was laid down. And the only, and this is no shade whatsoever at Major League Fishing, I just wish he had one more classic in him.
I do.
He had one more classic in him. I just wish that this announcement on the classic stage would have been, again, not a shot at Red Crest, not a shot at MLF at all. And Van Dam part owner in MLF. Like he was all about that move and everything they have going on. Obviously, from the jump, he fished his very first, like the ones that were on TV way back when, he was on the very first group of like 20 people. Like, he's all about that organization. But I just feel like it would have been so cool just for the emotion of it, right? Like an arena full of folks just pumped about his career. So shout out to Kevin. He is he's something, man. And he's not going away.
No, he's not retired. He's just changing up a little bit, I think.
I think you'll see more TV stuff out of him. You'll see. And I said for years he would become Bill Dance, right?
I think his own running on his own schedule has become a priority. I mean, he's getting to the age where, you know, he's probably wore out.
Oh, dude,
I mean,
he goes hard.
Right, and he's on a whole other level of everybody else, too. So, I mean, what it takes to wear him out, it wouldn't take half of that to get somebody else wore
out. That's a fact.
I mean, he's just all the time. But, you know, I mean, he's wanting to enjoy life. And what I'm really interested in, and I talked about this yesterday with a buddy on the phone, is there's a lot of guys that have very, very successful careers and have had good careers that are in that same kind of age group. Like, we're kind of some of the OGs. And I kind of wonder if that's going to start, like, the push of several guys kind of starting the process of changing up their competitive careers and shifting more, you know, into something that they can schedule a little bit more on their own, whether it be filming, appearances, and stuff like that. I'm kind of wondering if it's going to start kind of a domino effect in a few people.
It's almost got to happen, right? Like,
it has to at some point.
I mean, nobody's got that kind of energy in them forever. But, I mean, look, man, Kevin, still competitive, still winning. He won, you know, a BPT event in the last 2 years. Rick Klun won an elite in recent years. He's still doing it. He's still out there practicing, giving it hell. But you just wonder. Paul Elias, another guy, man. Paul's been around forever, won a classic in the 80s. He could be, dude, did you see he He called him up in the freaking FLW Invitational last week down at Okeechobee, dropped like 25 on him on day two. I mean, like, Paul can catch him.
Yep.
I mean, he is, but for me, I don't want to do it forever. Yeah. Like, I don't want to fit. I don't want, I mean, I want to fish till the day they put me in the dirt, but I don't want to work forever. Like, you have to have a goal. And unfortunately, though, in this line of work, and you know this, it's hard to get that nest egg. It's hard to, I mean, you see guys like Swindle. You know, I think Gerald's a guy that's getting to that age where he's starting to think about priorities more so. But at the same time, he's like, you can't turn the competitive fire off for those guys. That's where they just stick around forever.
And one thing, too, is, I mean, any sport, really, and bass fishing is, too. And it's a little different in bass fishing because I think you can prolong it age-wise a little more than any sport. But, man, you see so many people run like – their credibility and their career down into the ground by trying to fight too long and not know when it's like time to walk away and change it up and take a break. I mean, you look at football players that play and play and play until they get to a certain age where it's just like, you know, they're remembered more for like their downfall than their peak.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
And I mean, it's just what it is, but I mean, he's not walking away like entirely. I mean, there is, he can't I do not think he can make it like 2 years without fishing some kind of tournament.
I was gonna say,
whether it be Toyotas or what.
Well, you start talking about like Elite Series legend exemption start type stuff. Hey, my computer over there, my work computer's dinging.
We'll ignore that for now.
Yeah, we'll ignore that. What how does that go, right? Does he just decide, okay, it's like Brady says, I'm done. Thanks for coming. Yeah. Tip your waitress. And he's like, and I'm back.
I know.
And then he's like, and I'm done. So yeah. Michael Jordan did the same. Those guys, like,
it's a very common thing.
Does he get at home? Does he's sitting there watching Zona at the Classic? He's like,
I don't think he's done with the Classic. I really do not think he's done. I just don't think he can fight the bug.
It's a tough one to shake, especially
and I say that totally respectfully. I just out of total respect, I have seen what he's capable of, his mentality, and I would be shocked if he can like make it not want to
just
chase
get
one
out
more classic.
Yeah, just get out and be done with it.
I'd like to see it.
Oh,
I mean, I'd love to see it.
I'm here for it.
I mean, you know, and I don't know what he'd think about a total exemption and all that, but man, like, when you actually
– you don't think Bass would be like
– when you go sit in that arena,
they're like, guys, guess who just called?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's kind of – you know, he's a part owner of MLF.
Yeah.
And all that. So, I mean, I don't know how that'd go.
But Chase Anderson's like, it's a – boys, Valor fire drill. This is on the phone.
There would be any
just
questions.
Like this. They're like, take the contract. Get back here.
Yeah.
It's exactly how that would look.
Yeah. And I don't know if it'd mean going through the Elite Series or fishing one division of Ofens and just trying. Man, I just don't think somebody that has seen what that Classic can do. I have such a hard time believing somebody could just walk away.
Just go off into the sunset.
I mean, if somebody has never sat in that arena and watched, like that Jason Christie win, I wasn't even there. And, I mean, just watching it through the TV at home, I mean, just – like just seeing someone's life change that quick and just the energy in that room, like it makes it easy to get up in the morning when it's raining sideways at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
You gotta go practice. I mean it's a bug you can't shake.
No doubt, dude.
But
let's talk about a bug you can't shake. Let's talk some Sammy George. I threw my notebook over there. I had some little bitty notes, but that was my contract representation.
Yeah.
Bass throwing KVD a legend exemption
contract. I wonder if it was signed by the time it hit the ground.
It would have been. They would have signed it in blood.
Yeah.
In any tournament organization. Listen, he calls up MPFL, they're going to be like, give him a private jet. Get him here.
I want to see him in one more Classic.
No doubt.
Bad.
It would be awesome. It would be awesome. So we did a pod last fall after all the changes came out. You were against the working man comments to a certain extent, because you are a working man and you are out here trying to get to the elite, man, and you've missed it, what, 2-3 times narrowly? Like, I quit counting. But you've been just right there on the cusp of it. Now we got 9. You got to go all in to get in. You got 9 events. You got to be in the top 9. 100 and how many? Too many?
Like 80, I think.
180. Like, it's wild.
Dude, a lot.
It's wild.
Like, just because it's 9 spots is not going to make it any easier. Everybody's like, oh, they want to change it because it'll be easier. Dude, if anything, it just got harder, because I'm going to tell you right now, that list, just looking at it, there's about 4 or 5 spots that are probably already taken.
I would say so.
At least.
I would say so.
So at the end of the day, we're still, you know, you're fishing for 3 or 4 spots.
But you did say on the show, and I've said this multiple times, and I do believe this, it is easier to make it through 9. You were allowed some slip-ups.
Yeah.
Versus the 3, you got to be balling out top 10s, right, top 15s if you were going to make it through the 3 when it was that format. Yeah.
It eliminates a lot of that luck factor.
Yes.
I mean, 3 events, and that ball can go either way. I mean, it can play totally into your hand. It can totally go against you on 3 events. You can have the luckiest thing in the world happen to you 2 events in a row, and you just slide by that 3rd one and make it, and you're not ready. And then you have, you know, and you can be on the other side of it where you have something just bad happen. Like, it can be something as simple as come around a corner too late, you know, your clock ain't right or something, you're 2 minutes late, cost you 2 pounds. And I mean, even a dead fish, I missed it 1 year because of a 4-ounce dead fish penalty. Oof. In New York.
Oof.
And that's not the first time I've heard of that happen. I mean, I had 3 dead fish 1 year in New York just from beating their brains in. And 6
and that's where
wave.
You got to believe in the process and believe in all that. But it's when it's your time, it's your time. We see that all the time in the sport. But damn, your entire career. Think about this, people. When you're sitting there pounding the keyboard, or you're thinking you want to do this, one fish that dies in 6-foot swells, 4-ounce penalty, and you could say, well, he needs to take better care of his fish. But, like, nobody takes better care of him than Sammy. But
that was with pool noodles.
Yeah, pool noodles, G-juice, the whole 9. And that cost him right now. He would be at Okeechobee. Yep. He would be at Okeechobee right now.
Well, and it can go either way, you know. And, you know, I think some things happen – a lot of things happen for a reason. And, you know, at the end of the day – you know, it's things line up, I believe, the way they're supposed to. So I don't really have that much bad blood, but God, at the time, trying to swallow that pill.
Well, and then you got kind of, and the Bass changed this rule. So shout out to them for doing that. But it's the Sam George rule. It was
that,
last year.
That helped David Gaston this year. So
yeah,
I told him he owes me one a little bit on
it,
that one.
It did help him, right? Yeah. He wouldn't have got in. Yeah. But Sam competed in the overalls. And when there was a tiebreaker, it went to the individual division, and one of the Japanese guys, I forget who it was, beat you out because of that rule, and then he didn't even make it through the entire season.
Right. It was the double qualification at that time. If you double qualified, they went back to a single division instead of the overall division. And, you know, I'll give it to Bass, and I mean, I'll be the first to say, and they will too, we haven't always seen eye to eye, but I do respect them, and I feel like the people there that I talk with, they respect my opinion, and we've had some arguments, some heated discussions.
Come to Jesus moments.
They've told me why they can't do something, and we just agree to disagree and go on, but they listen. And, you know, when that happened, you know, I had a really deep conversation, a little heated. And
shout out Chris Bowes for taking that ass chewing.
Well, I wouldn't say a chewing, but I didn't realize I had a hot mic going back to the studio when we had that discussion. So they got to hear it. But, you know, and I brought some things up, and it wasn't just because of me. It was for seeing things in the future, you know, like, for example, the way our schedule lined up. I mean, you were able to be like that last tournament or whatever, basically however the schedule lined up. I mean, like, we had, if you were fishing all 9, I mean, we had like 3 weeks in a row we were gone. Mm-hmm. And then you have to show up and try to fish like a tournament where people have been there for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's tough.
And then they make it, or they finish 4th on that cut line in that single division while you're out in the middle of Lake Ontario trying to get back. They're out there sinking brush. And they, that, like, you know, it was kind of a thing where, you know, you were a little more committed. And when you signed up, I mean, you're all over the country and there's no such thing as pre-practice.
Yeah.
When somebody was fishing a single division, you had the ability to, you know, spend time in areas. And it's no hate to the guy that did that or anything. I mean, he, you know, like, it worked out, you know.
Yeah,
it,
no doubt. Just how rules are rules.
I actually think it was Webster, and I love Webster, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it has nothing to do with him. It has nothing to do with him that got that spot. But, you know, I just felt that at that time it was a little – I felt a little wrong by it, to be honest with you. And, you know, and I told him that, and, you know, they went and we had a lot of phone – or we had two or three phone calls discussing that, and, you know – the next year the rule was changed. And I think that if you had asked, you know, until the points were on the line and people were going to see how they stood with it, but if you had brought that up at the beginning of the year, and we did, several of us brought it to their attention before the first event, but, you know, sign-ups had already happened so they can't really backtrack. I mean, 90% of the guys agreed that it should be how the new rule is.
Yeah. Or was last year, because now it's just 9 overall.
Yeah. So, you know, and props to Bass. Like, I mean, they, you know, we don't always agree on things, but they listen. I mean, if nobody – we see it too much in our industry, really everywhere, whether it be a league, any kind of organization. I mean, even – I mean, you could see it at local trails. I mean, or even sponsors. Like, when you see something that isn't right, so many people just sit back and take it. Like, don't assume it can't be changed. I mean, it's not ever going to change if you don't bring it up. Like, the reason, you know, the reason sponsors pay us, you know, aren't just to sell products, it's to give them feedback. And so many people get something from a sponsor and don't like it, and they just keep their mouth shut and roll on.
Right. I mean, that's right.
Like, you know, when you don't like something, you need to speak up or it will never, ever change. And everybody will sit back and complain and nobody will ever say anything.
Hey, this guy right here, this podcast, that's what it's about. Oh, yeah. People at Ruffles Feathers at times over the years. But it's like, it's not necessarily because I think I'm right. We've had this discussion, but you have to make those opinions known. And I feel like I try to have a platform for guys such as yourself or guys on, you know, the former FLW Tour guys or Bassmaster Elite or BPT guys to have a platform to talk about what's going on. Because look, ultimately these organizations they're a business, right? And they're going to, at the end of the day, decide what's best for that business. But the anglers, as long as we are paying entry fees, are customers.
Yep.
We are customers. So that has to be taken into consideration. They have gotten a lot better about that over the last, I would say, 5, 6, 7 years. For sure.
I agree.
And I do think with the Opens, I applaud them, the direction they're headed. Because, look, said it on this, and we don't have to beat a dead horse, but if you aren't ready for 9 Opens, you're damn sure not ready for the Elite Series.
Exactly.
Those boys are going to break it off something proper for you.
Well, you know, it's a little more, you know, obviously to go fish all 9, it's a lot more than to go fish all 3, and the Elite Series is way more expensive. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, it's going to give you – it's already – like I've seen it, you know, already this year. It's been being covered so much more. It's a lot easier to sell.
Yes.
For example, you know, I've got to do a thing later on with Bassmaster Radio. Like, I mean, it's already gotten more attention.
Yes,
it's
for sure.
A lot easier – you know, from a number standpoint and just how much they're actually promoting it, like it's a lot easier to sell, you know, the amount you need to fish 9 than it was to fish 1, in my opinion, from what I've seen over the last 2 to 3 months. And that, you know, some people may not agree with it, but just personally and business dealings and things and just kind of, you know, tracking the numbers on it, like, I mean, it's been a little easier and a little more – kind of justifiable for a company to spend money with you.
Yeah, I agree.
They know you're not here to just, you know, show up, fish 3 events and
wear a jersey, call yourself a pro.
Right.
And you're trying to do this forever.
Yeah. And I really think too, and this is something, you know, I've kind of mentioned with Bass is I really think that so many people are getting involved with all 9. I think that, I mean, we're going to see enough changes in the next year or two where you can like make a really sustainable income with it, with the amount
through the Opens.
I think so. And, And guys are. I mean, I've done it for 2 years now, and it helped fishing the tour, you know, getting enough sponsor money and recognition there. And, you know, that helped that kind of counter, you know, like lower payouts and stuff. But, I mean, there's so much, you know, participation now. The payouts have gotten okay, not where we wish they were. But, you know, I think that there's enough people, you know, with 175, 180 guys. I mean, I think that they're going to realize, like, we've got a lot of people here, and we could really do something special to, you know, kind of help them sustain a livable income, paychecks, you know, kind of like change payouts and things where, like, it's going to be the place to be, you know.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I think that's where Bass has got to head with those opens, because only 9 getting in at a time, right? It's a lot like I've said with BPT having 80. They changed up the invitationals a lot. Then they got that Toyota series. Like, you got to have a landing spot for guys that aren't at the Elite Series, because we do have a lot of people that are talented anglers, that are great personalities, that are great on social media, that are great teachers, great, you know, great representation for the sport, great representatives, and they need a home. And I think that's why MPFL is important. That's why I think all these things, people are craving that content. They're craving to watch live bass fishing. You and I, we had BPT pulled up earlier. Yes, by the way, recording this a little early because I've got to go out of town. I meant to say that at the beginning of the show. Triple Threat and I are actually going, I got to go to the Miami Boat Show this week. And then, say this week, as you're listening, it would have been last week. But had to go, so I'll be out of town through the weekend. And we're going down to the Keys for a couple days.
I'll be at Eufaula.
Damn, that's coming, right?
Yep, I leave Friday for it. What day is that? The 24th?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, at the end of this week, as folks are listening to this. So, coming up on this first open, you only get 5 days now, right?
Right.
5 days. Right. That's going to equal some playing field out, don't you think,
for a lot of folks? Yeah, I think so. It's going to be kind of weird, though, because the off limits are weird. And I'm going to say this because I'm still not 100. I got to look at the rules because I'm just assuming we can't. But from what I've been told, we can still get information during the off limits.
Okay.
So, and I understand, you know, that I wish we couldn't, but I do agree that it's almost impossible to police.
It's very difficult.
25 people plus co-ang, like, it's just not going to happen.
It's very hard.
But I think that the fisheries we go to will be better because they won't be pounded on for 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
And, I think that, you know, having that fast-paced practice, that's what I really liked about the tour, was like, you can almost
3 days. Cover,
yeah, I almost even, like, 5's almost a little
too much. Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, damn, I wish they just made it 3.
Yeah. And, you
know, and had an off day or whatever.
Right, been cool. Right. And I get, you know, you got a lot of people coming from places I've never seen. Like, I've never seen Eufaula. And
you've never been to Eufaula, Alabama?
Yeah. Fun fact, too, I've never been to Okeechobee. I have fished professionally for
never been to the Barn Grill.
I've never been there. I've never been to Eufaula, and I've never been to Okeechobee. I made it 2 years on
tour.
But
you've been to, like, Falcon. You've been all over the damn place.
I had a house
place.
At Falcon, yeah.
Yeah. You've been all over the damn world and back, and you've never been there.
Yep, never been.
That blows my mind. Eufaula really blows my mind because I feel – but, you know, other than – I fished one open there when I was, like, 19 – and then 2 tour events, one as a co, one as a no. Did I ever fish there as a pro? Hell, I don't think I did. I know I didn't. I never fished Eufaula. It wasn't really on our BFL schedule once I started fishing BFLs and things. So
yeah, it's just never been scheduled. Same with Okeechobee. I mean, I fished Opens forever and Costa.
Opens have never gone to Okeechobee since you've been fishing, for sure. No, yeah,
I almost fished that 1 year they had that, like, wild card for the Classic.
Yeah. Shout out Jimmy Mason. Didn't Jimmy fish that?
I don't know.
No, he fished a wild card to get into the elites that year down there at Okeechobee. I believe Jimmy Mason called him in that and made the elite. Yeah.
I had to sell Christmas trees that week.
Yeah. Yeah, the wild card.
It was in like October.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was something weird.
Wow. No Okeechobee.
Or Eufaula.
God, I said this last week, watching that Invitational down there and them swim jigging them big suckers. Braid screaming, yeah. Give me a dose of that life. I love Okeechobee. And as you're listening to this, the Okeechobee Elite Series will have wrapped up, and I don't know who won because we're recording this early. So back-to-back Elite Series, BPT's back, though, and that format, dude, that format with the score tracker, we were talking about it earlier, and you were like, dude, I don't know, the strategy is crazy. Now that it's five, but, which is what the, all these guys fish for years and years and years, but you can see what everybody's got. Whoo, there's some chess going on. I mean, some chess going on. What do you think?
I can see all sides. I kind of like not knowing a little bit, but, man, I don't know. It really depends on the situation. I feel like bad days, I do not want to know.
No, I'm
I do not want to know.
Yeah, if you got 25, you're like, yeah, I want to see where I stack up.
But it's interesting because, like, you know, talking to some of the guys down there, like, they're allowed to look at. They can't look at footage. They can't watch live stuff. I don't know what all they're 100% allowed to look at, not, but
just score tracker. I
know they can look at score tracker, but it's interesting because of the off days, like you can hear guys making decisions knowing where other anglers are.
Yes.
And like areas that may have got blown out, they know that, you know, those guys are in that area too, and today they're biting a little bit. And then,
that happened with the other format too. That's just score tracker in general.
Right, right. But it's, but on five, man, it stresses me out.
Listen, here's where this is where this is going to be seen as a negative for MLF, I believe, just from watching the first few days of the coverage. From a fan standpoint, that's not your hardcore fishing fan that liked the every fish counted format.
Mm-hmm.
When dudes are out, they're just out.
Yeah.
So that cut line drama will be a little less.
Yeah.
And when a dude is blowing it out, which we already saw this with MLF some, but when a dude's blowing it out, he's like, yeah, dog, I'm not catching one today. So those the coverage the second day, going to be a little lacking at times as far as fish catches from the top guys, but knowing them, how they used to shift it around, the cameras for the cut line, they'll be chasing those guys that are down there trying to make that top 20. But still, you're going to have some people pissing and moaning about that,
yeah,
for sure.
Well, it's no different than any five fish derby.
No.
Right now. It's just the decisions you can make knowing the tracker and the cuts and how you strategically can play the cuts, the auto advance stuff. Like that's
start
the
from
only
zero
thing,
stuff and all that.
Right. That's the only thing really any different than a regular five fish derby.
Are they doing a cumulative weight? And I forget, I've had everybody on. Are they doing a cumulative weight from the knockout round to the final round, or is it zero? It's zero knockout, I know, but then do they zero again final day?
I don't think so.
You think you carry over from knockout?
I think you do carry over the final day.
I think. I hope so. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that because they have to start from scratch again on knockout round, the top 40.
Yeah.
But if you make that top 10, I do think if it's cool if you carry your weight in.
I think the top 40 or whatever is the only one that they don't delete your weight from.
Okay. Okay.
To my knowledge.
I know the first 2 days are scrap. So, like, 25 pounds the first day, and you're like, okay, well, the cut line's at 11. I need to just catch me a one-pounder here and make sure that I'm secure. And then you go blast them on that knockout round day and try to win it. I like the strategy in it. I mean, I think that those kind of things play into, like, Wheeler's favor because he's so good at the damn game of it all, planning it. But
helps when you can catch fish at will.
It was funny. I saw a meme yesterday. Somebody's like, they changed the format. Let's check in on Jacob. In the first 30 minutes, he was leading.
He's still leading.
It's amazing. Still going to be Angler of the Year, most likely, just out there blasting. He's like, yeah, change the format.
Yeah.
You guys want to catch one or 100? What do you want to do?
So, what y'all want to do today?
Yeah, what y'all want to do today? Y'all want to limit how many hooks I can use too?
Yeah. I'm tying my hand behind my back.
I love it. I love it, man. Because, hey, that's like you said, every sport has to have that. Has to have that guy, right? We've had Klun, we had Van Damme, we've got Wheeler. And I think that you got to have that bar. And look, man, they're all
And it's the same argument, too.
Yeah,
you bring it up now, everybody's like, well, back then the technology's different. And so if you put them on a level playing field, both in their prime and this and that.
Fishy is fishy. If you're fishy, it doesn't
Well,
matter.
It's the same. It's no different than the LeBron James and Michael Jordan argument. Everybody's like, oh, well, he had this many All-Stars and that and this and that.
Yeah.
Like,
but, dude,
it's an endless rabbit hole.
Think about, like, supplements and workout techniques and training. Dude, Michael Jordan be out there playing around a golf, pounding beers, and then still go beat your ass in the finals. LeBron's
just
drinking water and eating protein snacks and bathing in ice baths and all this dumb stuff. And Michael's liable to be at the damn casino with Dennis Rodman. I mean, like, that's the difference in that, you know?
Have you seen the story? The, what was it on Netflix or whatever for a while?
Oh, the
final dance or,
Last Dance. Last Dance. I think, yeah. Last Dance. I've watched it twice all the way through.
It's so funny just hearing, like, backstories of all that. It's pretty neat.
When he said, and then that upset me. What is it? What was his line from that he says? And I took that the wrong way or something. Yeah. I forget how he said, but then he like went off. And oh, dude, it's great. My Hudson, my 15-year-old, is obsessed with it. We've watched it many times.
I hadn't watched it in a while. I need to.
Oh, that's good stuff. There's a new one on there, too. This is just really ADD, Luke. But there's a new one on there about the Redeem Team is what it's called. But it's about after we get our ass kicked in the Olympics in basketball for a couple years, that they put together this team that's LeBron, Kobe, Carmelo, all them, but they call them the Redeem Team to try to bring, you know, United States basketball back to where it been. And then they just went over there and just whipped ass. But because they got beat. Like, they didn't win the gold medal. It's a really cool documentary. It's on Netflix, too.
I like me some Kobe.
Yeah, that was I'll never forget where I was standing whenever we were at a birthday party for Ryder whenever the news came over he had passed away.
I was at the weigh-in tank at the Harris Chain.
Really?
My phone had like 900 text messages about that.
So crazy. My boys are just all ate up with basketball, and yeah, that was crazy.
Hudson's I just actually loved his, like, mentality, the hard work. Oh, yeah, like, man. Like I just liked how he did things.
No doubt about it, man. Yeah, that was a huge loss in my opinion because he had a lot left to do in life, to whether it's motivationally speaking or coaching or whatever. Like, he was just the guy, to say the very, very least. So something I want to ask you about. This is a very pointed question. Maybe we get BK on the phone for this. There's a 17-pounder caught out at Ivy. 17:03. Have you watched the video?
He has the catch on video?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that yet.
It's an A-rig. It's just hooks everywhere. There's hooks everywhere. And a lot of people are like, yeah, well, a lot of people are saying it's snagged on live. And, like, here's my thing. I mean, whatever. Like, it's a 17-pounder. That's always where this argument's going to go. I've been reading the comments, though, and just like, all right. And I ain't trying to hate because it's a 17-pounder. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. I don't know.
I mean, but it ain't easy to snag
one. Hell no.
It may be bonus points.
Yeah, I don't know how you would even do it, but I'm seeing the comments, and I hate it for the dude that he's getting that kind of hate. But what I say that to set this up is there is so much drama in that big bass world. It's always been like that, whether it's the big swim bait world.
Oh, yeah.
But why? Why is there so much drama in that big – and there's a certain group of people that I will not name on this show because they annoy me. But they just – it's just nonstop. I am better than you at this and I – it's just this talking down, and it's like this – it's a lot like the big deer world.
Oh, yeah.
A lot like the big deer world. If you're not shooting 200-inchers – you're looked down upon.
You can get it officially scored, and there'll still be people come on and argue with you.
Exactly. But, dude, what is it about? And it's from people that – because there are people that catch those that are haters of what's going on. That are those are who I'm talking about. They are nonstop just drama. And, look, hey, I'm dramatic on this show. Professional bass fishing is dramatic. Do not get me wrong, but there is something about that big swim bait culture – big fish culture, big deer culture, where people look down upon other. Oh, wow, you caught you a 6-pounder? You I can't get you a 6-pounder out here. Dude, I'm happy to catch a 6-pounder.
If they come do what we do, trying to catch five ones, you freaking kill for a 6-pounder.
Yeah, but I love that, man. You read the comments and you're just like, oh my God. I'm happy catching some 3-pounders, dog. Like, it's all right. It's fishing.
Like, we just sat here and you offered which lake to go to. The one with big ones or the ones we'll catch a lot. I chose a lot.
Yeah, that's me.
I like swinging the bat.
I do, too. I like batting practice. But and maybe y'all comment, I don't know why there's always this certain amount of shade. I think I think when you're good at something, there's a certain amount of ego that comes with that, obviously, and bravado. But, dude, that world, they eat each other. It's just like nonstop. It's like
– it's no different than watching a football game. Because
it's impressive what they do, but damn.
It's no different than watching a football game in a crowded room of people. Like, everybody in that room thinks they can do better.
Exactly.
And nobody's on the field. It's the same thing.
Well, you're talking about commenters. I'm talking about the guys that are actually on the field that are good at it. But then they're
the actual guys
is what I think where the drama lies. Now look, then the drama lies in the fans too. Don't get me wrong, but there's just something about, and way before like, oh, is it live scope? Oh, are you snagging them? Oh, that's high fence deer hunting kind of stuff. You see those comments from the anti forward facing folks, but I'm talking about just like that big swim bait, that dude. Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It's a bizarre thing.
And it is bizarre now that you say that, now that I start thinking about it here, because, like you know, when I have a question about something and I know who's really good at it, that's who I ask.
Yeah, of course.
Like with Aaron Martin's, his jersey's right there. Like when I had a question about a drop shot, I asked him.
Yeah, and he would tell you, I'm shoot you straight.
Whatever he told me is what I did. Same with a swim bait. When I have a swim bait question, I text Zal Dane.
Yeah.
And what he says is what I do.
No doubt.
Because he's the best. He's one of the best.
I would say he's the best for sure in the tournament world. Applying it to tournaments.
If I say the best, it will have a whole argument.
Oh, yeah.
But he is.
Again, drama.
He's one of the best that I personally know and talk to frequently. And he answers those questions. But it's weird because all our guys, like in the tournament world, they do that with each other. When somebody has a strength, they ask and they listen.
For sure.
But in that world, it's almost like they argue.
They do.
Like, whatever you do, that ain't the right way.
Or it's not good enough, and then there's like, oh, well, you're coming to this lake. And none of them, here's my thing. Like, none of these guys, especially in regards to Ivy, like, don't be mad that people are showing up.
Right.
Because it's your damn fault. You blasting it in videos. It's your fault.
There's no telling what would happen on that place if social media.
Oh my!
That's why Falcon did what it did. Social media wasn't a thing, and you didn't know Falcon was even a place or existed until you saw it in Bassmaster magazine 3 months after they had been there.
And the difference in Ivy and Falcon is some locals at Ivy might slash your tires. Falcon, the cartel
throat.
May kill you.
That is true.
That's the truth. Very solid point by the lowlifer himself right here. Because we had some locals down there that got a little rowdy while we were there. But what's amazing is guys like Josh Jones and a lot of other guys like this Jason Kahn that caught the 17-pounder, like they've moved in down there, gotten, and I guess the locals are cool with it. You know, I don't know. Because, you know, Josh, Oklahoma boy. I think Jason's a Lake Fork guy. You know, not the Lake Fork guy, but a Lake Fork guy, and eased out there. And look, I by no means am trying to say that Jason snagged that bass, by the way. I'm just seeing comments, and I like, it sucks that it's not like a single swimmer.
Yeah.
I just hate the A-rig argument, and I love an A-rig.
I hadn't seen the video.
Oh, they all up in it.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes in the net, people are just like,
well, that was the Alabama rig even without
the period. Yeah, it's hard to get. Yeah, no.
I actually kind of thought, and I don't know what will ever happen, but, I mean, I went a year or two recently where I really thought that we would have similar sight fishing rules with live scope about being hooked in the mouth. But there's so many gray areas. I mean,
dude, I have done.
You can just turn that trolling motor out when you're fixing to get a bite and be like, oh, I don't know, there's one there.
But even then, but dude, how many of them you snagging on live?
I have had many.
I've never, like.
One or two will be like in the.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you're throwing a jerk bait.
Yeah.
And I see a dot and I'm coming up on the dot or I'm above it or whatever. And then I load up, and he's in the side of the face, which they do on a jerkbait when I don't see him on live scope a lot of times.
Even then, he tried to eat the bait.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know. People are like, oh, you guys are just uneducated people. You're snagging them on live scope. Dude, I don't know that you can do. Now, look. I will make the argument. a damn 17-pounder on LiveScope might look like a freaking ass beach ball laying down there, and you might be able to snag one of them. I don't know.
I haven't
with
seen
17
the video.
Hooks.
I haven't seen it.
But this is all I'm saying is I'm fishing for 2-pounders.
Oh, yeah.
And I ain't ever snagged one. I've never tried, but I'm just saying, like.
Hell, I'd be like, damn it, that big ball of gizzard shad down there.
Yank. Dude, listen. Listen. If it ain't on a bed, bring the thunder.
It's just free game.
It's free game. Yeah, I don't know, but you're right. I don't know. Will the organizations do something about that at some point? I just don't feel like it's a widespread thing. Like, I don't feel like people are that dialed with LiveScope that they out here snagging them right in the tails and sides and,
well,
and
here's
you
the,
know,
here's
spraying
the
shit out of them.
Everybody. Everybody.
Spragging them. Was it Fighter that said that? I spragged him.
Yeah, on live. But, I mean, everybody wants to have that argument. And, I mean, at the end of the day, the same guys that caught them before LiveScope catch them with LiveScope.
That's right.
I mean, Wheeler didn't just show up yesterday with LiveScope and just start with. I mean, he's whipping everybody forever. I mean.
Totally.
I mean, every like, big name in tournament fishing, none of them just like magically start. Patrick Walters was catching them way before LiveScope.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
And then he just upped his game like substantially with LiveScope.
And I understand, you know, I mean, I understand like the whole fan interaction and stuff on live cameras with the LiveScope.
Yeah.
You know, there's not as much talking and stuff. I get that.
And I think for a price range from your normal, look, a lot of guys that comment on fishing on Facebook, and this is no offense to them whatsoever, they're fishing from the bank, right? Yeah. Or they're fishing from a kayak, or they're fishing from a smaller boat. And the thought of spending $5,000 upgrading electronic, that's a big thought. They can't physically make that happen. And so I think a lot of the comments you see are from that place of jealousy and anger of not being able to do that. Look, dude, I said it last week. Bass fishing to me is flipping bushes at Decatur on the Decatur Flats. Bass fishing to me is winding around in some reeds and some hay fields at Okeechobee, a freaking Big Easy, one blowing up on it, throwing a buzzer down a bank. Like, that's bass fishing to me. That's how I grew up.
Yeah.
But this is also bass fishing and it's taking its place. You have been, I will say, forward facing sonar, like the very first Panoptics. I'll never forget. You caught them at Douglas. I'll never forget it. How long ago was that?
It was in 16.
And so 7 years ago.
I missed that. I missed being on the front end of all that by light. Like, it never clicked in my head. Let's go look for little dots.
All the time. Just all the time. Never do anything else.
By that much.
And he had the old antiquated, you know.
I got it because I saw it in the classic with when we were working on Hackney's boat.
Yeah,
he was talking
that's
about
right.
it in the boatyard when it was
that's
like
right.
8 degrees.
That was before in Tulsa.
Yeah.
That was before I had it and before I was with Garmin. I got with Garmin in 17, so I've been with them 6 years and I had it. And even me then, this is what's funny. One of the lakes that I fish here local a lot. I would blast them on that stupid thing. Like 1 month out of the year, they'd be out there suspended under shad, and I'd be like, oh, this is fun. And then I would just be like, let's go flip bushes. I would just, with old, you know, and
We didn't know what they did back then.
No, and I just, but dude, the curve with me, and I've talked about this on here a bunch, I had one of the first five, yes, you heard it here, folks, first five LiveScope units that the Garmin Pro Staff had. I had it before it got released to the media because I had to do the media event at ICAST. They put it on my boat. This is no joke. This is how dumb I am. They put it on my boat. Big Daryl, shout out to Daryl from Garmin. Put it on my boat on the off day for the final event of the 2018 season when we were at St. Clair. I don't think you were fishing that year.
God.
Listen to me.
You
Listen
had it
to
at
me.
St. Clair?
Listen to me. Put it on at like lunch, okay? We dump the boat in there at Metro. He goes, yeah, it does this and that. Okay, yeah. Dude, I don't know what I'm looking at. It might as well be Tetris. Like, I don't know. I've had zero experience. I don't even know what it does.
Oh.
All I know is I'm good at running my mouth, and I get to take riders out with it and do some film work at ICAST a month from then. I had been invited to that. It was like me, Scott Martin, Stetson Blaylock, MDJ, and Ruben Bannis. Five of us that had the damn thing, right?
Oh,
before anybody had it on my...
That's the place to have it, too.
Yes. And, dude, so I had it to a point that I had one of the first ones. I had to take it off of my boat before I sold my boat that fall to put it on my next boat because they didn't have any of them. Yeah. Like, I had this technology long before anybody. So I'll never forget, first day at St. Clair, dude, listen, Daryl had done some settings, whatever. I had pulled up on this place. Me and Matt Airy were sharing. We're rub rail to rub rail. Dude, it just shit everywhere on my screen. Like, I don't know, and it's kind of bumpy that first day. I still don't know what I'm looking at. I turned it off.
Oh, my God.
You heard it here, folks. I turned off my lights. I was like, damn, this is making my eyes cross. I got to turn this thing off so I can get home and figure this out. Then I came home, though, that summer. And one of my little lakes that I love up here where they suspend a ton just blasted them. And I was like, you moron, dude. We were catching them on big spoons, catching them deep crank. It was incredible.
We didn't realize how nomadic bass were.
Yeah, man.
You know, like, the first experience I had, it was panoptics. Live scope wasn't.
The blob.
And you could kind of see some stuff, but only out to like 30 or 40 feet. And I wrecked them up north on it. But the first experience I had with it, we were at Douglas for an open.
Yeah.
And I'd been catching them
the
cranking.
Summer, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'd made the final day. I'd been catching them cranking a 10XD. And we ain't got like 10, 15 minutes left on the final day. And I've still got, you know, a little one in the box. Well, I'm sitting on the end of a point winding. The school's kind of moved off of it because we've blasted a million of them. And I look out, there's a dot sitting by itself like 20 foot down over like 65 feet. And I'm like, man, that sure looks like he'd come out of that school over there. And I looked at him. He's still sitting. I mean, this goes on for like 2 minutes. I bend over, pick up a flutter spoon, and I pitch it over there. And, you know, back then, like, your spoon would fall like 5 feet before it ever caught
up. Yeah.
Well, it starts falling. At about that time, I see that dot start moving up. And I was like, that's kind of neat. I mean, this was the first tournament I had it. And, I mean, the dots get – it's like still 10 foot below it, and all of a sudden my line jumps like 3 foot up in there. Boom! Like, I still got the spool open. And I click it, and I swing, and it doesn't move. I thought it was a strapper, and it was like a 6.5-pounder, had it down his throat. And it never once clicked in my head like –
we got to be doing this.
Maybe we should go out over there and do it some more. But, I mean, we didn't have enough time in that event.
It's at the end of the day, day three.
Yeah, it was the very end of the tournament. But – I never once was like, maybe I should go do this at home. Maybe I should throw at the dots I see out there over 100 feet of water.
I think it was that same year. I know it was. We were at Beaver. That was my rookie year on tour, and I didn't have it. And I was rooming with Gagliardi. And he's like, hey, man, you want to throw around some of these boat docks? You can get a limit of spots pretty quick. They're suspended on these cables. And I'm like,
oh, man.
So listen. I'm like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like winding my crap around, like, eh, okay. And he's throwing a little Kitec. And I'm like, dude, how do you know that? There he goes, oh, I got this panoptics. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, you can see him? And he's like, yeah, you can see your bait. I can see it. I'm like, you can see a 2.8 Kitec. Yeah. And dude, makes the cut in the tournament that. He's probably the only one in the event doing it. Of course, Gagliardi was always on the front edge. Like, he was the first ever guy to ever show me side imaging in February of 2006. He won a FLW. I'll never forget. I just started TH 2006. Started TH in August 2005, and I was traveling through his area, Columbia, South Carolina, and the FLW was coming up in like 2 weeks on his home pond. And I was actually staying with him and his dad, Big G, and he goes, dude, you ever seen the side imaging? Hummingbird, seriously. And there were like three people that had it there.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, when you get through working, I was calling on boat dealers for TH, he goes, you get through working this afternoon, we'll go out. It's going to be nice that afternoon, and I could be on the water with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the cutoff or whatever. And he goes, I'll take you out here. So, dude, we pull up on this island, which, by the way, is where he ended up winning the FLW Tour on this spot. And he rides by, and I'm like all but sitting in his lap like you do. And he's like, yeah, you see that? It's all bass. And, dude,
That was when it looked like. That was probably when they looked like Egyptian hieroglyphics on side imaging. Yeah.
Well, dude, I think somebody weighed like 40 pounds that week in a tournament, too. Tim Carroll, I believe, from Oklahoma, weighed like 40 on them, or like 38. Like, dude, Murray was as good, which Murray's on fire right now, but Murray was as good as it had ever been.
Yeah.
Dude, we roll by, and he's like, all of those bulls, golf balls, it's all bass. And I'm like, really? And he says, yeah. You want to see them? And I'm like, yeah. Dude, we stand up, and his dad was in the boat. I swear to God. We caught 2 7s and a 5, buddy. And I was like, what just freaking happened? And I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't throw. When's the tournament? He's like, yeah, 2 weeks away or whatever. He's, yeah, I wouldn't cast on that again. And honest to God, he ends up winning off of that spot. Well, we caught 3 freaking just donkeys. But he's like, we went out for like 2 hours. But he's like, yeah, you see all that? But so he was always on that cusp. And so when he's telling me about this Panoptix deal, I started emailing Garmin like that night. I was like, hey, y'all got any more of them Panoptix? And then I had it in 17 and didn't utilize it at all like I needed to. And then in 18, the original Panoptix, we were at Lanier. And there's this deal on marinas over there that I figured out. It's pre-spawn. And, dude, I've been throwing my shaky head. My little buddy Michael Brewer, our buddy. Michael's practicing with him as a co-angler. And I got to catch him on his shaky head, and dude, you pull up, and I could tell you within like 3 seconds if I was going to get a bite or not once I got dialed on it. But there'd just be these these little blobs just moving around, all slow, Atari looking now compared to LiveScope, dude. You'd bump.
Yeah, we used to call them. We used to say, "Oh, there's something behind my bait." Now it's like, "Oh no, that's a carp. No, that's a catfish. That's a bass."
And dude, listen, this old, you throw your shaky head in there, and then blobs would go. They start making their way up, and that line would go, boom! Dude, you'd catch big spots. And I caught them that week in that tournament over there off of that, and that was the first time I was like, oh, I got to start using this more. And I came home, and I started utilizing it. Yeah, but still, when I got LiveScope, I was like, what is this? What is this garbage? I don't know what this is. I had to tell that one on myself. Had LiveScope, turned it off before anybody else. At St. Clair, and finished about 100th in that tournament after catching – almost 18 the first day and was like 70th place. And then, dude, they railed on them over there. And nobody, now, to be fair, it was still, you could just drift St. Clair and catch them. BK almost won. He had almost 100 pounds of smallies.
He swears if he'd have had it. Like,
oh, there's no telling.
I think he actually had it.
No, he didn't either. I'm telling you, I was one of 5 people in the country that had it then. And he wasn't with Garmin anymore.
Huh.
I remember pulling back up, and it was like me, Gagliardi, and Sugg staying together. And I'm like, hey, look at this thing Daryl just put on my boat. And they're like, oh, cool. Oh, yeah.
That's the one where he said if he had it, he'd have been done. Blown.
Oh, yeah. Ain't no telling.
Everybody would have, too. But
yeah, yeah, that's right.
That's one of the places where, like you want to have it.
Anymore, 100%. Especially. Yeah. You better have it.
Like, you have to have it.
Absolutely. To have it. All right. Before we wind down, because I'm ready to go catch a bass.
Yeah.
Before we wind down. Got some big news. Are we ready to publicly say anything about your news in life?
Which news? Because I already publicly said some news.
Family news?
Oh, that's out there.
Okay. I didn't know we were Instagramming that or anything.
Yeah, you want to say it?
Yeah, let's go.
You say it.
Sammy's going to be a daddy.
Yeah.
Sammy's going to have a – do we know yet?
It's a girl.
Look, okay. It's a girl. Yes, sir. Hang on. Yeah.
Well, my wife's having a baby. I mean, I'm assuming it's mine since, you know, we're married. But, I mean, I've been around the house for, like, since July. So, I mean.
Listen, Trey Swindle sat right there. And one of his girlfriends broke up with him over some shit he said on here.
Are you serious?
You're going to get a divorce over low-budget life.
Nah, she'll be
our first divorce, Savannah. Miss Savannah, we love you.
She knows.
And we're proud. Listen, Marissa has got baby fever, and we're older, and so there will be no more babies at the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill until we have grandkids one of these days. But she is ready to get her hands on a little George baby.
Everything I have is for sale for the right price. I'm just kidding.
You keep your Christmas tree seed away from my family, boy.
I'm just kidding.
Well, congrats, buddy. That will. When is the due date?
August 2nd. It's actually funny because I talked to John Garrett yesterday. They have one. Their baby is due August 6th.
Oh, really?
And we are both in New York like that week before. So we're
baby pattern, though, man. Look at Polinick. Look at a lot of these guys.
Nobody better sneeze too hard that week. I'm hoping the baby pattern's true. I mean, we've seen it. It's won classics. It's won AOIs.
That's right.
I mean,
it's your year, buddy. You're going to be in that top nine. I think we go to the classic this year. I think this is it. This is it for you. To the classic.
I'm going to say
a rando because I think it's going to be in Oklahoma. I don't think because you're as dialed with those northern smallmouths as anybody I know. I don't think that's where it happens. I think it's going to happen somewhere you least expect it because you're also really good at junking around. And I think somewhere like that, you fall Oklahoma event or a Toledo Bend, which, by the way, they caught a 15-pounder and a 13-pounder there in the last couple.
That one's going
to be interesting.
That's going to be like an April. They're going to be biting.
That one's going to be fun, man.
Yeah.
I hate that I'm going to miss that one for sure.
I don't know.
You've been close, dude.
It may never happen, but I'd like it to. You know,
if you could pick one that you think it could happen, where would that be? And I know I just put you on the spot with the up north thing, but
oh man, I'm trying to remember our schedule. Our schedule's so like
all over the place.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Every time I pick one, it'd be bad. I think if it did happen, I think it would be a rando, man. Like I've had so many people be like Wheeler, man. I'm telling you, like. That event is not going to set up like people think it's going to. Like, all the people that fish that lake all the time.
I forgot about that. I didn't want to put any pressure on you.
No, I've had so many phone calls about that one. Like, oh, you're excited about Wheeler. And I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Man, that lake does not fish the same as it normally does with 200 people.
No.
All them people that, you know, they're going to help people and this and that and, you know, fish events there every weekend. Like, it is not going to fish the same. With 200.
Fish is small anyways.
Yes.
I think that
time. It is not going to be the same with 200, but I don't think you can do the same thing over and over. I think you have to junk around, and that may be a good thing. It may be a bad thing, but I'm a little nervous about that one just because of, I mean, man, I just hadn't fished a big event there in a long time.
Hasn't been a big event there in a while.
It's the first one in a while, and I think people will be really surprised that I think the weights won't be as good as people expect, and I think that it'll be – like, it'll be a lot harder to get a bite just simply because of pressure. I think the lake will be good, but I think that pressure is going to...
By day two, it'll start to kind of show its
colors. I think by day three or four of practice, it'll start showing.
Okay.
And there's a really, really good chance in that event that it'll be over and done within the first 30 minutes.
It's true.
On shad spawn. I mean, it's just a Tennessee River. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
So...
Scary.
And if you ain't on that the right deal and can't get on it because of a boat or something, you could be junking around for 9 pounds, you know, and that's just the fact of the matter. But, no, man, I'd like for it to be a random one. I really wish – I would love for – if I could pick one for it – for, like, a first big win like that happen, I would love for it to be Wheeler just because
– oh, my gosh.
Like, I started my – you know, like what we talked about with Van Damme earlier, that was the one that got me started and – you know, go from fishing local events to winning a big event to starting your career there and then being able to win it with, like, your family and baby on the way, it'd be just kind of like a full
circle. Oh, man, we throw a damn party.
It'd be fun. I'd like it to be that, but, man, it's so hard to win on your local lake. I mean, it's so
hard. Especially with 225.
Right. Now, really sneaky places like, you know, Fork and things, just really hard conditions and you can find really sneaky stuff. I think it's I wouldn't say easier, but it's a little more likely. But, man, we don't have a lot of secrets anymore.
No, I would agree with that.
So, I'd like it to be there, but I don't really care where it is. At the end of the day, you end up at the classic.
I was going to say, send you to the classic, send some money to your bank account, get you some Elite Series points, baby. Let's go.
I'm all for the classic. I don't even really care about the money as much as I do that classic. I want to stand on a classic stage.
Sammy George, I appreciate you coming and stopping by the Low Budget Bar and Grill finally.
I've enjoyed
it. Let's go try to catch a bass. Y'all be sure to follow Sam on all of his social media platforms. I don't think he has an OnlyFans anymore. He cut it off, so he can't.
If I don't catch him, I might have to get it back.
Feetfinder.com, Sam George. Appreciate you, little buddy. You're the man. Low Budget Live. Thank y'all each and every one for tuning in every single week, week in and week out. I'm going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues, and we're going to be back sooner than later with a new look around here, but in the next couple of weeks, looking forward to it. Thank y'all. Working on the classic live party. Put some big steps forward on that thing this week, and just waiting to hear back on a deal, and then we're going to start making some announcements, all right? I know y'all keep messaging me, and I appreciate each and every one of y'all for doing that. We're going to see y'all up there on Rocky Top. Here's some Biloxi Blues, and I'll see y'all next week.
On the Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.